The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR.
Come on,
tonight, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Everybody, guess what I went home and did last night? I went home and spit my tongue. Take that, Nick Staten. Hey, good evening. No, I didn't. I'm Bob. This is Head On. Oh, goodness me. Split tongues. And we got a picture in the paper today, too, of the girl with her split tongue kind of crossed one over. Thanks, guys. We needed that. And so, of course, our legislature working overtime to make sure we don't. And you know, just picking up where we left off last night, Linda Sumner out there sponsoring bills that are going to create more drunk driving. Way to go, Linda! You go, girl. But beyond that, there was a moment of victory today. A moment of, you know, one of those little things you put in the W column. And for that, we have the voters of Raleigh County to thank, because they're the ones who put Bob Burnside in office, and Bob Burnside is the one who sat on the case in Fayette County, and Bob Burnside issued a ruling that pulls us back from the brink in Fayetteville of WMD, at least for the time being. As a result of his ruling, there will be no WMD in Fayetteville. The fight is not over, but this was a little victory over WMD. For those of you wondering what that is, Walmart destruction, Walmart devastation. It hit the pages of the Beckley paper and the Charleston Gazette and even the Fayetteville paper today. Apparently, the Fayette County Planning Commission screwed up. Imagine that. And sort of rushed headlong into the devastation, the economic misery and ruin that is Walmart a little too fast. The case isn't over. We're not safe yet. The residents of Nickelville Road are not yet fully protected against hearing 3 o'clock, at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Attention, Renown Associate for a vomit cleanup on aisle 22/16A.
Not safe yet, but getting there. So thank you. Thank you, Bob Burnside. We needed that. It felt good. And now, while it is fair to criticize boneheaded, dumb, idiotic, stupid, moronic things like tongue-splitting bills and anti-video piracy rules when we don't have any video pirates traversing the high seas of West Virginia just yet. And while it is fair to criticize bumble-brained bills like the Lacey Peterson bill, remember what these knuckle-draggers have done.
We hate these frivolous lawsuits.
Guess what? You're going to get a whole bunch of them now because your legislature has committed or has created a new wrong. What? You slipped in Walmart? I'm sorry, ma'am. And you had a miscarriage? Darn the luck. Time to call the lawyer. What? You got rear-ended and you had a miscarriage? Well, that's okay. The West Virginia legislature has said that that little wad of tissue is a fully formed and distinct human being. Tell State Farm you want wrongful death damages. You guys are geniuses in the legislature. You really are. Thanks, West Virginia Senate. Thanks a million. Thanks for being so pro-business as to create another claim for the insurance companies to have to pay. You're a smart bunch, you are. You know, I've just about come to the conclusion that the West Virginia legislature is, in fact, so smart that they could probably get everything they need to get done, done, if we only let them meet once every 2 years for 60 days. We're a poor state. We're paying these guys and gals exorbitant horse-gagging loads of money to write tongue-splitting bills and Lacey Peterson bills and church near the tavern door bills and change our school crossing signs from yellow to green bills and establish Good Friday as a state holiday bills. No thanks, guys. Why don't you guys just pack up and go home and we'll take the rest of the session as read. Come back and do it next year and then do it again 2 years after that. This is getting silly. Now, in all fairness, there are some people out there doing moderately intelligent things. There was a bill. There's a bill making its way through. Here, I'm going to read the newspaper to you. I hear that's really hot in local talk radio. There's a bill making its way through the legislature that will not allow corporations to rip off our money anymore after Weert and Steele stole us blind a couple of years back. You remember that, don't you? Weert and Steele came down and, to Charleston. We're poor. With their little noses pressed up against the frosty window panes looking into the hallowed chambers of the legislature. We're poor. We need money. We're going broke. People are going to lose their jobs. So what did we do? Us good, give you the shirt off our backs, West Virginians. What did we do for Weert and Steele? That's right. We ponied up $8 million. Yeah. And tax concessions. And guess what they did with our money that we gave them? Why, they went bankrupt anyway and gave themselves $4 million in executive bonuses. So there is an effort afoot to stop that. And that is a noble effort. That's a worthwhile effort. That's almost an effort worth keeping the legislature open. So what are we? What are we, 5-1 on the stupidity scale so far? But Ed Bowman from Hancock County deserves kudos for coming up with the idea to stop these corporate ripoffs. But there's still plenty of work to be done while we're wrangling over, while we're giving the tongue splitting bill a good tongue lashing. There is work that needs to be done, not the least of which might be this fact from the editorial page of the Charleston Gazette, as verified by Citizens for Tax Justice, that while you and I are paying 6% for every loaf of bread, every gallon of milk, every scrap of food, every article of clothing we put on our back, while we're carrying West Virginia on our backs, you and me, the working people, why corporate, well, you know, we're always, well, we're last in the country and everything. Well, we're first in the country for corporate America. We let corporations get away with paying or with not paying more taxes than just about any other state in the union. Not that there's anything particularly new in that, but we have boatloads of corporate tax deadbeats, apparently. How many? Let's see. Citizens for Tax Justice analyzed financial tables and annual reports of 250 major corporations, and many of the firms reported little or no taxes in 2001, 2002, or 2003. As for state corporate income tax, 71 big firms reported $0 in at least one of the 3 years. Now, of course, the Charleston paper dropped the dime on BB&T, Big Banking and Trust. And on the opposite page of the newspaper, BB&T, with great crocodile tears falling out of its reptilian eyes, says,
Oh, no, that's not the way it is. We keep two sets of books. We keep one set of books for the Securities and Exchange Commission, and we keep another set of books.
Wait a minute. They keep two sets of books? Well, how nice. What a ripoff. Well, it boils down to... let's see. Where is the... Yeah, here it is. You can hear the sniffling.
Branch Banking and Trust Company pays the city of Charleston and South Charleston together more than $600,000 each year as part of our B&O taxes. And those mean old Citizens for Tax Justice, they charge BB&T and a host of other companies with avoiding state income taxes. They looked only at the consolidated financial information for Great Big Banking and Trust that was in our annual report that we swore to our shareholders and said was the absolute God's unfly-blown and unvarnished truth. They didn't look at our second set of books.
That's what I love, the banking company that keeps two sets of books. Holy Moses... You think we could get hold of Senator Ed Bowman from Hancock County on this one?
Key to understanding this issue is that there are two sets of rules that companies must use when reporting financial data. Financial data included in the annual report are governed by the directives issued by the Securities and Exchange Commission and Financial Accounting Standards Board. On the other hand, financial data in state and federal tax returns are governed by the Internal Revenue Service and applicable state and local laws and regulations. Yada, 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 yada. Well, we've invested more than $28 million in 12 capital projects. Still deadbeatness on the taxes.
What do you say you and I start keeping two sets of books? You know, one that represents the real numbers and another one that represents what we turn into the government. Want to know where we'd be? How many of you look good in blaze orange outside of deer season and like those little orange shower sandals that you get from the West Virginia Division of Corrections? Or the feds? I don't think the feds are... Are they still doing denim and dungar? No, they're probably blaze orange too. That's where we'd be if we kept two sets of books. But not big banking and trust. No, sir. Though the fact of the matter is, there is legislative work to be done, hard work. And I don't see how that's getting done while the majority whip is running around with his tongue-splitting bill. And Linda Sumner's running around making sure that people have to drive drunk further because the right-wing religion industry is failing so badly that it can't stand to be near a tavern.
Hey, flock, where are you going? Sheep, where are you going? Oh, we're going to get a beer, preacher. You see, it's only 300 feet down to the next bar. You're a little dull today.
Pitiful, isn't it? What a confession. We got to get the churches farther away from the bars, else people will be leaving the churches and going to the bars, and the next thing you know, the preacher will have to get a real job.
God, I love this state. I do.
So there's all of that, and we haven't even touched on the consolidation of the all-star torture team that went down today in Washington. And there's a little more Gannon Guckert stuff out there for it. Just goes on and on and on. We're going to have fun tonight. The phone number, of course, is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. We stream live for you every night on the Internet at WWNRNewsTalk620.com. And if you should happen to want to go back and listen to another show, you can go to WhiteRoseSociety.org, who kindly archives the show for us every night. A couple of messages, and we'll get back at it. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You asked for it, Beckley, and L&S Toyota's giving it to you. L&S Toyota is rolling over triple rebates. It's L&S Toyota triple your rebate sale. Only L&S Toyota dares to match factory rebates with dealer incentives to give you triple rebates. Up to $3,750. Triple your rebates on new Toyota Corollas, Camrys, Tacomas, Tundras, and more. Triple rebates on every new Toyota up to $3,750. That's right. Triple your rebates on all 2005 models. Plus, over 30 Toyota certified used vehicles are available with 3.9% APR financing. And get a 6-year 100,000-mile limited warranty with roadside assistance and a 160-point quality assurance inspection. Triple your rebate sale. Triple your savings. Now through Monday at L&S Toyota, 300 Rural Acres Drive in Beckley. On select models with approved credit, limited term financing. Dealer retains all rebates and incentives. $3,750 rebate on 05 Jumper, M22805.
Power Country 105.9 and Raleigh General Hospital present the 8th Annual Southern West Virginia Women's Expo at the Raleigh County Armory, February 19th and 20th. Free child care provided by A Place to Grow. Free parking courtesy of Smith Company Motor Cars. The Southern West Virginia Women's Expo features exhibits on health and fitness, beauty, financial planning, home decor, nutrition, and so much more. Register for cash giveaways each day and attend informative seminars and demonstrations. The Southern West Virginia Women's Expo, presented by Raleigh General Hospital and Power Country 105.9. Saturday, February 19th from noon until 6 p.m. and Sunday, February 20th from 1 until 5 p.m. Get your free tickets now at the Old General Store, Linda's Boutique, and Lighthouse Realty.
Radio for the real majority. Head on.
Welcome back. It's 23 minutes after 7 o'clock. There is another couple of bills out there banging around, one good, one bad, that would probably bear talking about. This business, of giving partial civil immunity to employers. You know, funny words, fine little funny little words, partial civil immunity. That means, to a large extent, you can't sue somebody. That's what civil immunity means. Of course, you know that. But this, it's about people giving recommendations on former employees who are seeking other work. And it's HB 2015. In the House of Delegates. And there has been some debate, and it has been stifled over this bill. It was requested, HB 2015, was requested by, according to the reporting on it, a group of state personnel directors. Now, this is, you know what this is? This is a blacklist bill. This is a bill that will allow employers to blacklist workers, say union members maybe, for their activities, and to do so with no risk of negative consequences. In my book, that stinks. Okay? And yeah, a Democrat introduced it. I'm not going to sit here and carry water for people who are wrong. This is an anti-worker bill. Now, it had opposition, I'm proud to say. It had opposition from a fellow who is turning out, as far as I'm concerned, paying attention to what he's doing, at least this session, Tom Luisos, my delegate. It's turning out to be a pretty good Joe, because he's come down on the right side of a couple of issues so far. And what he is saying about this HB 2015 is that this bill is going to allow employers to enact revenge on an employee, and the employee will have no way to prove it. Yes, correct. What do you think? Should I hire Joe? Well, you know, I heard he agitates for the union. He might not want to. But Joe doesn't get a job. And Joe's qualified. Joe can do the job as well or better than anybody else out there. But Joe doesn't get the job. because somebody has blacklisted him. It passed the House 81-17. On the way to the Senate, hopefully we will fight it there. And maybe serve a little notice that if there's no opposition to this in the Senate, maybe it's time for labor to take a hard look at the people who say that they speak up for working people. 81-17 to sell out workers in the House of Delegates. It stinks. I don't like laws that create secrets. This law creates secrets. This law allows an employer or a personnel director to say anything he wants, or she, with no threat of repercussion.
Why, I heard Fred eats babies for breakfast every morning. You wouldn't want to hire him!
And Fred's qualified. Fred's a great guy. Fred goes to work regularly. Fred knows what he's doing. But some vindictive personnel director has decided to drop the dime on him. The House of Delegates dropped the dime on workers today. I'm not proud of them. Tom Luizos, nice job, Tom. Very good job. We're proud of you. Of course, the legislation, like I said, will move to the Senate. We don't know what will happen there. But given the way they treated the Lacey Peterson bill, I'm sure there will be some vigorous debate. I could almost guarantee you, without even looking at it, that I could look at, I could tell you who voted against this anti-worker bill. And it's discouraging. They're coming after us. In large part, never mind that part. They're coming after working people. On the national level, they're coming after working people. On the state level, they're coming after working people. There's going to be a fight. Now, I'm not talking about anything mean. No, there is going to be a struggle. I was going to go to the break. I hate to keep people waiting, though. Let's go to Wayne. Hey, Wayne, you're head on.
Hey, all I need is a minute. I'm busy, too.
Okay.
Sally Sussman voted against that, my delegate.
Good.
Yes. Good woman. Good Democratic.
What the hell are these people thinking, Wayne?
Huh?
What are they thinking?
Corporate America, Bob. They're listen, you got to go to the break. I got something to do, but I'll call back later.
Yeah, I want to talk about this a little
bit.
It's
corporatism.
That's what it is. All right. Thanks, man.
All right, brother.
Okay, so kudos to Sally. Sally did the right thing. What's getting a little disturbing is it's a short list of people doing the right thing in Charleston. Doing right by the middle class. Doing right by the people who make this state go. When are we going to figure out that Massey doesn't make this state go? That BB&T doesn't make this state go? That men and women who get up every morning and go to work, they're what makes this state go. Not some slob in a $3,000 suit. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Sheriff's deputies continue today investigating at least a dozen incidents of vandalism that occurred in the last 3 days in Raleigh County. At least 12 reports have been received of someone shooting out car windows with a BB or pellet gun, most of this in the Coal City and Sullivan Road areas. So far, no one has been injured and no homes have been damaged. If you have information, call the Raleigh County Sheriff's Office at 255-9300 or Crime Stoppers at 255-7867. Workers' compensation bill that was the center of Governor Joe Manchin's special legislative session is now law. Manchin signed the legislation yesterday morning, saying the measure will attract business to West Virginia by privatizing the Injured Workers Fund and by cutting premiums. He was surrounded by members of the business and labor communities and credited their working together, along with the legislature, to get the workers' comp bill passed into law.
We did more in 5.5 days and people thought it could be done in a lifetime. I'm very appreciative of that, and I'm appreciative of everybody that's here right now representing all the different people that we have in this great state that want to have a good job and be able to take care of their families. That's what it's all about. It's all about families, and it's all about jobs and being able to keep your families together.
Under the plan, $230 million a year will be drawn from various sources to pay off a $3 billion budget shortfall. Police have released the name of a suspect in a fatal weekend hit-and-run in Greenbrier County. State police say 79-year-old Samuel Wilmer of Roncefort will be charged with one felony count of leaving the scene of an accident involving a fatality. Wilmer will also be charged with improper registration and driving without a license. That's the news. Here's the chilly forecast for tonight. Partly cloudy with a low in the upper teens to around 20. And then for tomorrow, Friday, partly cloudy and cold continues. And also a chance of snow flurries again in the afternoon. And tomorrow's highs, just like today's, in the upper 20s to low 30s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Meck, when you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
Union members for two grocery chains in Colorado are being urged to vote in favor of a strike. The United Food and Commercial Workers Union and representatives for King Soopers and City Market have been at a contract negotiation stalemate since the contract ended in September 2004. UFCW Local 7 President Ernest L. Durant Jr. posted an audio message on the local's website telling members that they should reject a recent proposal by a federal mediator because it would do nothing more than hurt employees.
The offer is concessionary. It will destroy your contract. It will destroy your health and welfare provisions. It hurts current, retired, and future workers.
More than $420 million was collected for workers last year through the Federal Equal Employment Opportunity Commission in workplace discrimination cases. The EEOC got more than 79,000 discrimination complaints against employers last year. That is down from the all-time high number of more than 85,000 complaints in 2002. The $420 million, though, is the highest amount of money ever recovered for workers in discrimination cases in a single year by the EEOC. The federal agency says while progress has been made in ending employment discrimination, much work remains to really deliver on the promise of equal employment opportunity for all American workers. Race and sex discrimination cases were the most numerous, race accounting for more than 27,000 complaints, sex discrimination for over 24,000 cases. The new budget proposed by President Bush slightly increases the budget for the EEOC to a total of just over $331 million a year.
More than 60 administrators at a paper mill in the Canadian province of New Brunswick were forced to spend a second night at work. More than 100 workers gathered to block the exits to the mill owned by UPM Miramichi and refused to let anyone leave the premises, represented by the Communication, Energy, and Paper Workers Union. They have been on strike since December when the company announced it was going to close a section of the mill. On Monday, it was announced that that section was going to be torn down. The workers then began to gather on Tuesday, defying an injunction that says no more than 6 picketers can gather at each gate. Food and other supplies have been brought in by helicopter for the administrators on the premises.
Here's today's Dow Bob report. 28 states are so-called right-to-work states that allow workers at a unionized company to stay out of the union but still be covered by union contracts. That tends to weaken unions, and the numbers show workers lose out in those states, too. The average worker in a right-to-work state earns about $5,300 a year less than workers in other states, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. 21% more people are without health insurance in those states. Right-to-work states also spend less on public education, and more workers are killed on the job in those states. You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Okay, we know Sally Sussman did the right thing. We know Tom Luisos did the right thing. Delegate Luisos actually tried to amend the bill and at least put in a portion or language that would force these recommendations of workers to be in writing.
because if it's in writing and you do someone dirty, you can be caught. But 81 members of the House of Delegates said no. We're going to let them just go ahead and slander at will working people. So we know two people who did the right thing. What did, who am I thinking of? Another delegate from around hereabouts, not Bob Kiss. How did Bob Kiss vote? And never can think of the guy's name. How did he vote? You know who I'm talking about. How did David Perry vote over in Fayette County? How did Rick Staton vote? I mean, you can take it. It goes without saying that few, if any, of those 17 strong-willed pro-middle-class, pro-working-class people were Republicans. That goes without saying. Looking to Republicans to help the middle class is like looking to the Lions to help the Christians. But how about our other local representatives, our other local delegates? Tom Luiso, Sally Sussman, they go in the, yep, good people column. What about the rest? I'm guessing probably Mike Caputo is in the 17 decent human beings column. And while I'm guessing, maybe Bonnie Brown, Carrie Webster. Though I'm not sure. I'm guessing. But they seem to have some sense of kinship with working class people. And there are, make no mistake, there are a couple of more bills I want to talk about, but I hate to keep people on hold. Jim's waiting. Hey, Jim, you're head on. Jim.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm pretty good, I guess.
How are things in the Garden of Good and Evil?
Evil, unfortunately.
Well, it seems like somebody's trying to hide their candy, right?
Yeah, yeah. If you can't put it, if you can't put it in writing and put your name to it, what is it you want to say?
You got nothing to say, man.
I mean,
my concern is not in writing, it doesn't exist. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, can you see how this would be abused?
Yes, sure, I could.
Can you see how maybe somebody at Massey could use this to blacklist someone with maybe union sympathies?
Man, you just get the right word with me. I was talking about that this afternoon, you know?
Really?
Yeah. It's not exactly about what you've been talking about, but it's, for example, it's leading the same kind of thing, what these people are trying to do. For example, how they would blacklist writers and actors in Hollywood back in the 50s. Remember that?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
You know, there's one guy they blacklisted, and I'm sure you're familiar with the name of Dashiell Hammett. I mentioned him on your show.
Oh, I was reading Dashiell Hammett when I couldn't pronounce his name.
Well, I mean, you know, this guy was an incredible writer, very talented. He led a tempestuous life, and he had a very, very interesting and a very wonderful wife, Lillian Hellman, who I think is superb.
Oh, The Little Foxes?
The Little Foxes and, Pedimento, Lord knows, the thing that Julia was based on.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie, but what I'm talking about is when Hammett died of lung cancer back in the 50s, they didn't want to bury him in Arlington. Now, this guy had served not only in World War One, but when he was a recovering tubercular, volunteered and served in the Aleutians in World War Two. Now, these mean, sorry people with that HUAC, a human...
House Un-American Activities Commission.
Thank you. See it right in my mouth.
Richard Nixon.
Well, the whole crowd, Roy Cohn, Joe McCarthy, that... You know, the whole stinking bunch of slobs. But anyway, they didn't want to bury him in Arlington. So Lillian Hellman just told the people who came to see her from the Arlington Commission, she said, well, okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to hold a press conference outside this hotel. And I'm going to tell them exactly what you people are trying to do. If you won't even forgive a man in death who served his country in two wars, and much less who made a major contribution to the mainstream of American literature, just because, you know, he had some ideas back in the 30s when everybody else that had any sense did too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you he's buried there now.
Is it, that was my next question. Is he?
Yes, sir.
Good. Good.
I'll tell you, it's the same type of spirit. This, you know, this thing is happening in Charleston. Well, these people trying to blacklist workers and trying to destroy unions. I mean, it's the same thing. It's the same mean spiritness, the same kind of hatred, same kind of they're the un-American people, as far as I'm concerned. You know
exactly.
I mean, they're the ones that will be hauled before the committee and made to give an account of themselves.
Well, you know, theoretically, we make them do that, well, for the House of Delegates every 2 years.
Well, you know, Bob, this might be a blessing in disguise. That maybe it'll show people in this state just what kind of people they've been sending up there, and it might show them exactly what these Republicans who are bought and paid for by business will do for them.
Well, but time out, Jim. I mean, our problems run deeper than this.
Oh, I have no doubt.
That vote was 81-17.
Well, I mean, you know, somebody must have had a big factor when they hit the floor.
That's 81-17. That's a whole bunch of Democrats.
I don't know, Bob. Sometimes a little hush money can do a lot of talking. I can't understand that either. But I'm just saying that, you know, these people who would do that to a working populace that sends them up there to represent them, they don't need to be returned.
No, they don't. And you said there may be a blessing in this. There absolutely may be.
I hope so.
We need to compile a list of anti-worker Democrats because they are quickly verging on being dinos. Democrats in name only.
I call them Quislings.
Yeah, Quislings, that works.
That's exactly what they are. They're traitors.
You know, the problem is we're sort of money starved, but it's got to be grassroots. It's got to be mouth to mouth, hand to hand, neighbor to neighbor, door to door, with an explanation of these people are calling themselves Democrats, but they damned well aren't, because when they can't vote for a middle class worker, they have abrogated their right to be a member of the party of the people, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I mean, now what's happening in that mill where they're having to fly helicopters in to supply the administrative staff that's left because they're tearing it down or something?
Yeah.
Now, you know that thing is not going to end peacefully. There's going to be some problems up there.
I don't doubt it. Well, I don't doubt it at all. It's but then again, you know, every now and then I come back to Paul Wellstone. God rest his saintly soul, Paul Wellstone. Sometimes you got to start a fight to win one.
Well, I mean, you know, I have no problem with fighting. You know me. I wouldn't shrink from it.
I mean, so far I've counted six acts of abject stupidity at least for every one piece of the people's business that needed doing. And if all they've... Yeah, and I said it, Jim. I mean, you're here with us every night. I said it during the special session.
Right.
When all that business was going down. I said, I look for an absolutely zany regular session that is filled with nothing but nonsense. And if this is the best they can do, we need a grassroots campaign among other issues. We need a grassroots campaign. Excuse me. That will tell the to amend the Constitution of West Virginia and forbid the legislature to meet any more than once every 2 years.
Well, that might do it.
I mean, take all of these senators and all of these delegates and multiply out their $15,000 a term salaries, multiply out their per diems and their expenses, and see how much money you and I would save if we just told them to stay home every other year.
Well, you know, I've never seen it in the paper or heard it on the news when they didn't meet. And I've never heard of any great catastrophe happening anywhere.
No.
You know, to tell you the truth, that battle flies to some of the people up in D.C., up in the houses of Congress there. You know what I'm saying?
Right. You know, but we're all eaten up with making rules about the others. You know, I'd like to see the legislature pass a few rules that applied to them and not us.
Well, that's what they're supposed to do, my friend. But, I mean, you know, apparently they just says, well, once they get up there near the, I guess, the nexus or the wheel of power, they just, but, I don't know.
You know the sad part, Jim? We have one of the better legislatures in the country.
Oh, I don't doubt that. I mean, I've seen what goes on in the General Assembly of South Carolina, at least I hear.
Oh, yeah, and you know, you've got,
I saw how they handled the issue of the Confederate flag down there.
Well, and down in Georgia, somewhere in my stack, I've got something about eagles. They've got a Republican majority now down there now, and they've created this thing among the Republican Party in Georgia where the Speaker can designate any number of Republicans as, on the fly committeemen. And if he sees a bill going through, he flies his eagles into that committee and they vote whichever way the Speaker says and the bill dies.
Oh, yeah. Once they get a, you know, people don't understand.
This is Maoist.
Of course it is. I mean, once they don't, you know, people don't understand, I think, the way our system of government works. I mean, once that majority party gets in power, and once you get people, say, like Tom DeLay as Speaker of the House in D.C., that man has more power than the president.
Yeah.
And, you know, they can stop anything they want to. I mean, it just dies right there. You can have, I don't know how many good people trying to do their work, but if he decides it's not going to fly, it's DOA.
Yeah, you're right. You know, and meanwhile, I've been combing the papers. Where's our clean elections bill? Where's the one bill that might provide a little bit of hope and light for the people of this state?
I'm sure it's probably going to languish down by it, my friend.
If it does. What was it? Was it big-time Dick Cheney talking about a meat axe a couple of weeks ago? You know, ripping off Robert Penn Warren, give me that meat axe, all the king's men.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. This maybe this legislative session will be the one that. Of course, it won't. You know, I'm the only guy in West Virginia talking about this.
Well, you're one more that was talking about it last night. Okay.
Yeah.
And you know, from the sparks will come the flame.
Well, God bless you for your inspiration, Jim. I appreciate it. Sometimes.
See, that's the way I feel. You know, I mean, you know, things start slowly. But they move inexorably forward. And I can assure you that the mills of the gods grind slowly but exceedingly fine. And to Mr. Cheney, he better watch out because that axe can swing two ways.
Well, that's, you know, there was more, and I don't have the website address, but there was more Gannon Guckert stuff today, too. He was being admitted to the White House long before anybody thought that he was allowed to be there.
Oh, is this the gentleman we discussed last night?
Yeah, the man-ho.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, I have nothing against a person making an honest living, particularly in a crime, with, you know, who's, you know, it's like that. But when you start having people like that, having access that they have, and using people like that, and, man, I don't know. I just wish that people like Alan Drury were alive who could write another novel like Advise and Consent.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'd be a bestseller if they had this crowd to base a plot on, don't you think?
Oh, it would be. And, you know, the sad thing is there's a lot of good people doing a lot of good work trying to cover Washington. Unfortunately, none of them are in the so-called liberal media. There is not a peep out of the liberal media about this. So, you know, again, another nail in the rather ignorant notion of there ever having been a liberal media.
Well, we've got two buzzwords here: blacklist, gag order, so to speak. You know,
mm-hmm.
And you know, when I saw these people last fall ram HR 1 through and what they did to that guy,
yeah,
that told me that. They did not even know the meaning of the word admirable restraint.
Oh, the hogs are in the tunnel, Jim. There's no doubt about it.
They are, and I'm sorry that this is happening. I really am. You know, but, you know, I hear people on this radio station and during the day sometimes, and when I hear some of the stuff that comes out of their mouth, it just absolutely blows my mind.
Well, Jim, I've got to ask you a question because I tuned in on the tail end of things this afternoon. I didn't get to hear it myself, but it seemed so scintillating. What in the world is this about this comment that if only the Muslims could get away from Muslims that they would become Christians?
Some guy named David.
Uh-huh.
And I hope he's listening. So, tell you the truth, every time
I'm not trying to get you to gossip or anything. I just want to know what was said, because I don't know.
Well, he just condemned all Muslims and said that they hated Christians and that there was no love in their religion.
No, more of the standard right-wing ignorance.
And that if they were allowed to practice freedom, they would all become Christians overnight or whatever, or words to that effect, and basically showed no respect at all, you know, for their faith. And there was a lady who was a Muslim, and this woman, I can't, Ria or whatever her name is, she's very nice and very well articulated.
Now, yeah, I heard Riaz's phone call. I didn't hear what precipitated it.
Right. But this guy, I have never heard such hate and such narrow-mindedness and bigotry. And if, my Lord, if Satan ever had put anybody up there to make Christianity look bad, I'm sure this guy is getting a double paycheck this week.
Okay, I understand what was going on then.
It was really bad. I called in and I just said, listen, I said, I got three things I want to say. I said, number one, I said, love is not love which alters when it alteration signs.
Right.
That comes from John Sutton and Cavalier Poet.
Right.
And number two, judge not, lest thou be judged. And number three, he that exalts himself shall be debased, and he that debases himself shall be exalted. And this guy was exalting himself in his position, saying that we had the right to hate and kill these people and denigrate their religion, because of what 19 people did in four airplanes, or three, on September the 11th.
Well, you know, but Jim, what do you want? I mean, the right-wing megaphone is out there day in and day out preaching this. The clown that follows me at 10:05 or whatever, preaching the need to drop atomic weapons on Iraq. You know, and out of the other side of his mouth preaching that... you know, he believes fervently in the saving tenets of the Christian faith, and not realizing that there are thousands, nay, hundreds of thousands of Christians whose families have been Christian since they pulled Jesus off the cross, living in Iraq to this day.
This guy basically maintained that Christianity had no skeletons of its own except the Roman Catholic Church, okay?
Right.
Putting them down big time. Okay. Well, you know, I'm not exactly proud of what Catholic humanity did on St. Bartholomew's Day.
Well, no, and there was that little problem with Henry VIII.
Yeah, and I'm an Anglican. I'm a Protestant Episcopalian. And I'm not real proud of what Henry VIII did to the Catholic Church and what he did to priests. It was horrible what was done.
Well, by the way, the French Revolution wasn't exactly kind to the boys in black.
No, it wasn't, because they had a lot of axes to grind. And they weren't, the Russian Revolution wasn't very kind to some of the clergymen either, because of some of their sins of omission. And, you know, it's the thing that basically...
But the thing is, Jim, these faiths have begun to learn, all but a very few. You know, like that essay that I mentioned out of commondreams.org last night. The Jesuit priest John Deere, D-E-A-R, not D-E-E-R-E, not the tractor guy.
Okay.
Addressing this Baptist college in Pennsylvania last September, and started off with a prayer based on the Beatitudes, and said, "Okay, let me just jump." He said, "Let me just jump to the chase and explain something to you." Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Therefore, he did not say, "Blessed are the war makers." Therefore, the war makers are cursed. And if you wish to be blessed by Christ, you must oppose this horrific war against the people of Iraq. The entire auditorium began to scream and chant, "Bush, Bush, 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 Bush," while 500 hell-bound people got up and stomped out on that man of God.
Well, Bob, I got to tell you something right there. That's a good barometer for the winds of war, or the winds of change that are sweeping this country.
And, you know, if we're paying attention at all, I got home last night and read a couple of stories. A big boom last night in Iran. Did you see that?
No. What happened?
We don't know. Initial reports were that a missile had been fired in the province where Iran's first nuclear reactor is about to go online, their first nuclear power plant.
Like a missile coming from?
Say, a Predator drone?
Well, they've had those drones flying over Iran the past month.
Yeah, and those drones are equipable with Hellfire missiles.
Oh, Lord.
And you here, you know, we've been talking a little bit about the God of Irony, Jim. He's on the march. This was in Bushehr province, Iran.
My goodness. Bob, we don't need this. We really don't need this. We don't need to get those people going over there. I mean, my God. I mean, when will we learn that
we
can't tell other people what, you know, how to live and how to do this, that, and the other?
When will we learn? We haven't even learned that we can't tell our own people who they can marry, who they can associate with.
I know. But I'm talking about nuclear proliferation. I mean, once that genie got out of the bottle 60 years ago, did they think it was just going to stay in Los Alamos? It didn't. You know, it was bound to spread to other countries.
It's always worth remembering the words of Albert Einstein. I don't know how they will fight World War III, but I do know how they will fight World War IV.
Sticks and stones.
With sticks and stones. Jim, we got to go. Thanks so much.
Got it, buddy.
Appreciate it. Okay, time for the news. When we come back, all kinds of stuff. And your phone calls, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. Bushehr Province. Oh, my aching back. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head on.
Certain events are beyond your control, and you need to have some sort of plan in place with respect to your family members.
This is a message from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, recorded by Lai Sun Yi, New York City Office of Emergency Management. The topic, planning for emergencies.
I would say one of the most important things is to have some sort of communication plan in place, so at least for your own peace of mind, you know that you're going to be able to contact your family. Also that you have enough water and food in your home in case you have to stay there for a while. We just want to have people know that there are things they can do to help themselves, to help their family members, to help their neighbors in the event something happens. And the important thing is to use common sense to remain calm.
Learn to be prepared at www.ready.gov or call for a free brochure, 1-800-BE-READY. That's 1-800-237-3239. A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council.
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. Now, CBS covers the world at the John. It's 8 o'clock.
It's your second hour in the liberal sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
And a half minutes after 8 o'clock. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the little ruckus we like to think of as Head On every night, for the most part. I will be gone, calendar? Yeah, I'll be gone next Wednesday night, the 23rd, for very good reasons. But a little heads up about Head On for you there. This is one of the fun parts of this show. I ask a question, I get an answer. Ask and it shall be given unto you. This was forwarded to me by our good friend Judy. I asked what is happening to our clean elections bill. Here's what's happening to our clean elections bill. There were 2 hours of discussion in the House Judiciary Committee today. The bill passed by a vote of 12-10 on the substitute for House Bill 2486, the Public Campaign Financing Bill.
It now goes to the full House, where we hope it will pass. Because, you see, it passed the full Senate last year. So, theoretically, if it passes, you understand. But those of us who support the Clean Elections Bill, apparently, we're told we have our work cut out for us. There was no available show of hands for who will support and who will oppose the bill. And, of course, there were a bunch of manufactured what-if scenarios put forward. You know, things like what if SpongeBob decides to run for office? Will we provide public campaign funds for a cartoon character? And can Squidward and Patrick work for him in his campaign under this bill? You know, stupidity. Who opposed it? The vote was 12 to 10 coming out of the committee. Who opposed it? Well, at the last minute, the Republicans, being Republicans, decided that they were against clean elections. They like their dirty elections. They like the $1,000 hugs and love that they get from the likes of Don Blankenstein and the out-of-state boys. You remember when we went over the out-of-state gang before the election, don't you? You remember those $1,000 love checks that were going to good Republican candidates? You remember those, don't you? Sure you do. So, of course, the Republicans are going to oppose something that would bring fairness and decency and honesty to the electoral process in West Virginia. But here's your Dino report, your Democrat in name only report. Roll call, Dinos. Here's who opposed the bill coming out of committee. Dimple Calhoun, Dino, Democrat in name only. Heftel from Wetzel, Democrat in name only. Lydella Hretke, Logan County, Democrat in name only. Mahan Summers, Democrat in name only. There's your Judas list. There, you know, and whatever Republicans are on that committee. There are the people who are trying to stand in the way of meaningful reform in this state. Need I remind you that the state of Maine passed clean elections and within something on the order of one legislative term had managed to pass universal health care for all residents of the state of Maine? Need I remind you that the state of Arizona passed clean elections and has the cleanest state government they have quite possibly had since they were admitted into the Union in 1912? The city of New York has better government now on a council basis than it has had in eons because they passed clean elections. I reiterate to you how important this is. My God, if we could get Congress to... Oh, stop it, Bob. Get off the drugs. The bug spray man's never going to allow clean elections to be considered in the Congress of the United States. How would he get all of his Halliburton money? How would he get all the filthy money from the people who profit by death? So it's not going to happen in Congress. It's up to us to make it happen in West Virginia. Damn, if you can't get worked up about this bill, you can't get worked up about anything. I open the newspaper, and I got to read stories about Delegate Staton and his precious little tongue-splitting bill. And Delegate Armistead and his video piracy on the high seas of West Virginia bill. And Linda Sumner's out there busy trying to make sure that the bars can't get too close to the failing churches. Because she's afraid the parishioners will like beer better than communion wine. They didn't have any trouble hustling that blacklist bill through the House, did they, 81 to 17? And we just barely squeaked clean elections out of the House Judiciary Committee. Roll call, Democrats in name only, remember these names.
Stemple Calhoun, Peftel Wetzel, Hrutke Logan, and Mahan Summers. Remember those names, because they're going to come around. You know, we're on the internet. We're heard all over West Virginia. Maybe we're heard in Wetzel County. Maybe we're heard in Logan. Maybe we're heard in little hard-to-find Calhoun County. Quick, what's the county seat? Maybe we're heard in Raleigh and Summers County. So remember when they come around glad-handing and saying, won't you please give me your vote? Remember how they stood up and said that ordinary people, without the benefit of filthy corporate contributions, don't deserve to run for office in the state of West Virginia. Remember. 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 And remember the words of the Merlin character from that wonderful John Carpenter movie, Excalibur. For it is the doom of men that they forget. Remember. Remember. And remember the good things. Remember that Tom Luisos stood up and said, "If you're gonna smear an employee, you better have the guts to put your name to it." And remember how John Amore stood up and said, "Well, that would be too much trouble for the employer." To scrawl a little note across a post-it and stick it in a file with your name on it would be too much trouble. But there are good things going on. Tongue splitting? No. Apparently, though, this is a needed law, and I applaud Delegate Bonnie Brown for this, who, if I find out she voted against or voted in favor of this this blacklist bill, will be batting 500. I hope not. Can anybody find me the 17 people who had the guts to vote against the blacklist bill? These people deserve to be applauded on the air. Now, Bonnie Brown is apparently a little bit tired of seeing women who are performing the single most natural function of their life discriminated against. The bill to allow women who are nursing children to be able to breastfeed without stigma or harassment. The bill stems from a woman who was breastfeeding her child. It just looked like the baby was on her lap. And a security guard at the Civic Center in Charleston came up and said, "Lady, you've got to take that precious little infant and breastfeed her in the bathroom with all the human excrement." God, I get sick of this disgusting sexism. And, of course, I'm still waiting to see how the church is going to come down on this one. Dirty breasts! Dirty breasts! Hide the filthy women! In the name of Jesus, hide the dirty women! Most natural act on earth. Feeding of an infant. And I'm going to make a bet. I got a quarter, says the right-wing religio-crazy evangelo-fascists, and the West Virginians for Families come down against the breastfeeding bill. How many people will take that bet? I will bet none will take that bet. Ooh, that's two bets. I'm in for 50 cents! Nobody's going to take that bet, because you know I'm right. Listen, let's take a quick break and come back and go to the phones. 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I wasn't no bottle baby. I'm Bob.
get on.
Beckley's premier dinner restaurant, The Char, is now open and under new ownership. Same exquisite food, same exquisite staff and service. The Char is fine dining at its best. The Char is newly remodeled and is proud to announce the addition of Southern West Virginia's finest wine list. Open for dining at 5, 6 days a week, closed Sunday. The Char, Dry Hill Road, Beckley.
Hi, this is Linda Luger, Executive Director of the United Way of Southern West Virginia. Thanks for the generous support you provided during the United Way Fall 2004 campaign. Did you know that 99 cents of every dollar donated stays right here in Raleigh, Fayette, Nicholas, and Summers County to help the 20 agencies the United Way supports, including the Red Cross, Girl Scouts, Commission on Aging, Women's Resource Center, Fishes and Loaves, and 15 other nonprofit agencies. Your tax-deductible gift helps the many who are unable to help themselves. Please continue to support the United Way of Southern West Virginia. It's a great investment in our community. If you would like additional information, please contact me at 253-2111. That's the United Way of Southern West Virginia, making a lasting impression on our community.
That catches and slams and it hangs on the rim.
And the Cougars are on a roll.
His sixth three-pointer of the game, and this one from 11 feet beyond the arc.
And the Cougars are national champions.
This is our town. This is our team. It's Mountain State University Cougar basketball, and you can follow all the exciting action on Power Country 105.9 WTNJ. The 2004 NAIA Division I national champs are looking to go right back. Don't miss a game, home or away. This is Paul Van Scott inviting you to join me for all the exciting action this year of Mountain State University Cougar basketball on 105.9 WTNJ.
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. Head on with Bob Kincaid.
Yeah, somebody needs to explain to the neo-Confederate evangelo-fascists that God didn't put breasts on a woman to give men an excuse not to look them in the eye. They are feeding mechanisms for infants. And, you know, frankly, you know, here I am. I'm a liberal. I don't care where you're feeding your baby. I'm glad you're feeding your baby. I'm glad you're doing it as God intended it instead of as Johnson & Johnson intended it. Holy smokes. But that's just me. Let's go back to the phones. Jeff is with us. Hey, Jeff, you're head on. Yo, hello. Jeff.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing good. You?
Fine.
I bet you've got my vote list, don't you?
No, I don't. I was looking for it. I couldn't find it.
Well,
Where did you get it?
No, I don't have it. That's my problem. I'm looking for the 17 people who voted against this blacklist bill. I'm proud of them. They deserve they deserve to be applauded.
I don't really see what would keep employers from doing that anyway. You know.
Well, the fact of the matter is they can be civilly liable for, you know, telling malicious and false statements. But the thing is, what this bill does, Jeff, is it gives immunity from lawsuits.
It makes them not liable anymore.
Right. Yeah, they can say any rotten, dirty thing about you and say, well, I didn't do it maliciously.
Oh, yeah, if you quit, if you get mad and quit, they can get mad and
knock
you out of a job.
Yeah, he's a hothead.
Yeah, and when you really was a good worker.
Yeah, and you know, maybe they shorted you on your paycheck. You know, it does happen.
I want to give you some respect for calling out the Democrats that are voting the way that you against the way that you think they should be. Whether I agree with you or not, I respect somebody more that will criticize their own party a little bit.
Well, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate that, but you and I share, you know, we'll have our differences.
Yeah.
And I apologize for getting hot at you the other night.
I didn't know if you banned me or not.
No, I just don't call back tonight. I don't feel like.
Oh, I thought you meant don't call back ever.
But you chapped my buns, Jeff.
Well, that's,
you know, no snide comments on the way out. I let people say bye bye nicely. Most talk show hosts just hit the button when the host says goodbye.
Oh yeah.
But anyway.
Go ahead.
No, I'm not here to carry water. I am a Democrat, and I'm a proud Democrat, and I am sick and damn tired of these Democrats who don't want to live up to the heritage that was made for them.
Let me point out one interesting name on the clean elections law.
Okay.
Krutke.
Oh, yeah, that's a real... I kind of left that one alone.
That's a lady, ain't it?
That would be Lydella Krutke.
I wonder if she's married to...
used to be.
The number one comp-receiving lawyer in West Virginia.
Well, I don't know that he's a lawyer anymore.
Mark?
Yeah.
Because,
you know, he did enter his guilty plea.
I've got a friend who has a business in Beckley, and some of the businesses in Beckley, the Chamber of Commerce sends them little newsletters, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me one of them, and it had the top 10 lawyers that comp checks were wrote to, you know?
Right.
And Rutke Mark got over $15 million worth of them. He was number one in the state.
Well, shall we play a little family history here, Jeff?
Sure.
Mark was one of the absolute most successful workers' comp lawyers in this state. And he was one of the most successful workers' comp lawyers in this state, in large part by virtue of the law practice that he took over, which was that of, Lydella's daddy.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, I'm not sure about all of that, but I could guesstimate that she didn't want to do that because she wants to be able to give money as she pleases.
But I'm guessing it's a little different than that, Jeff.
But do you understand what? If they make this a clean election thing, it takes people with money out of the thing, out of the deal.
Her ex-husband just went down for vote buying, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you do know that.
Right.
And of course, all the legal evidence indicated that Lydella had nothing to do with the scheme. But you think maybe that played a little bit? You know, just into the thinking? Father of her children? That kind of thing? Maybe. A little bit?
I want to,
Will you work on the blacklist bill for me, please?
I'll try.
Okay.
I don't know. If it's not up, I can't find it.
Well, it was 81 to 17. It's HB 2015.
Okay. And it was voted on today?
No. It went on yesterday, Wednesday.
Okay. A lot of talk about Hugo Black and the wall and things like that. And, you know, some people kind of get the impression that a lot of our founding fathers were or were not theists, things like that.
Well, I mean, we know for a fact that Thomas Jefferson wrote his own version of the New Testament with all the miracles and gobbledygook taken out.
But George Washington and James Madison, these are... two that I really, you know, James Madison was the mainframe.
Well, in large part, yeah.
And George Washington was, you know, the main man.
Right.
And there's three short quotes I'd like, just want single simple sentences.
Sure.
One is, what students would learn in American schools above all is the religion of Jesus Christ. George Washington said that in a speech to the Delaware Indian Chiefs in 1779.
Okay.
He said, it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and Bible, and he said that it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favors.
Yeah, you'll notice that I never list Washington mm-hmm. in the list of deists.
But I believe, you know... When you get a group of people together, you're going to get a lot of different ideas, opinions, attitudes. And I think that to like kind of single a couple out and call them this or that or this or not, but would be kind of insincere because the fact was that most of them were Christians. Like James Madison said that America was to be governed by the Ten Commandments of God. He said that. And, you know, and I've got a
couple... And yet, as you noted, he was the primary framer of the United States Constitution, and there is not word number one about God in the Constitution.
No, there's not, but they didn't want to establish a religion.
Well, actually, you've got to back up a little bit there, because the anti-establishment clause is contained in the First Amendment, and it was passed subsequent to the drafting of the Constitution itself.
Mm-hmm. But see, when they did all that, they still had the religion and the prayer and the Ten Commandments. And when we had all of this, I can't imagine the founders wanting a wall, but putting all these things in there.
Well, that's what Thomas Jefferson said in his letter to the Danbury Baptists.
What was that?
That we shall erect a wall of separation between church and state.
Well, there
and
might have been a
wall. And to say that you can't imagine that they would have wanted a wall between church and state, that they were rebelling against a country where the king was, in fact, for Anglican purposes, the Pope.
But see,
literally the head of the church.
The people back then, you know, maybe the Americans back then really knew the meaning of the words tolerance. Because when you had your president, the very first one, you know, imagine how scary of a time that could have been to been over here in this land that who knows where the other end of it is.
Well, Jeff,
who knows where your next meal's coming from. And when you've come from an oppressive king, and then you have this president who's saying, we're going to teach this. And imagine if you didn't believe that, but we didn't have rebellion. The people tolerated it because they knew that he could be voted out.
Well,
first of all,
over 50% of the residents of the colonies tolerated the king. They wanted no part of this madness of revolution. 50% of this country had to be dragged kicking and screaming to freedom.
Mm.
Yeah. Secondly, it's also worth noting that you are right when you say that they were experienced with tolerance. Because, among other things, for instance, the people of Massachusetts, having spent, they land in Plymouth 1620, somewhere in the 18th century, before the Revolution, passed a law that said no clergy, no priest, no member of any, no official of any religious sect may hold office in this colony.
In 1620?
No, not in 1620 they didn't say that. It took a while because, you see, the Massachusetts Bay Colony was every bit as repressive as the Taliban was in Afghanistan.
See, Washington.
Stoning, putting people in stocks, burning them, hanging them, killing them for not believing the right way. So, yeah, the Massachusetts people and people across the colonies quickly learned that letting religion run your government was pure poison.
Washington, when he was dividing his men up into regiments, he made sure that he had a pastor, a reverend, a Bible scholar, somebody with an extensive knowledge of the Bible in each regiment.
Well, absolutely, because you've got a religion. You've got to remember, Jeff, religion is an instrument not so much concerned with people's souls as it is concerned with people's control.
Well,
you can tell them that it's about their soul when it's really about their control.
Well,
beginning to sound like Jesse Jackson.
And then he,
not about the soul, it's about the control.
He said that we need to pray for God's help to his soldiers because we're not going to win.
I do my fair share of praying. I just don't run out and do it in the streets like some, like these right-wing evangelo Nazis.
We started the first ever session of Congress with a 3-hour prayer session. You know, and I'm not trying to.
You can't tell me that some congressman didn't get up and go to the privy in the middle of it.
I'm not sure, but I just, you know, I'm real sensitive about the memory of James Madison and George Washington.
Well, you know, Washington first of all was
tremendous people. James Madison was 500 years before his time.
Well, and Madison learned at the feet of Jefferson. Yeah, little short Jimmy Madison.
Oh, he was just complex, you know.
Well, and quiet and a student. Wasn't he a theology student? Just weren't he and Aaron Burr classmates at Princeton?
I am not sure.
I do believe so.
Kept the country together when the Capitol was burned to ashes. We
should
have fragmented.
Yeah, the last time the United States was invaded. Exactly. Jeff, we got to roll.
Thank you.
Find me those votes if you can.
I will.
See ya.
Bye.
Okay, break time. I ran over a little bit. I apologize. Time for a little news update from Carl Mack, followed by our commentary this evening from Jim Hightower, which is always a pleasure. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head Off. I'm Bob Kincaid.
evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. One of the pioneers of whitewater rafting in southern West Virginia was remembered today and will be remembered again on Bridge Day this year. Yesterday, the Bridge Day Commission issued a proclamation that said this year's celebration would be a tribute to John Dragan. Dragan died Saturday at Ruby Memorial Hospital, Morgantown, 5 days after suffering a stroke. He co-founded Wild Water Expeditions Unlimited in 1968. That was the first whitewater rafting company in southern West Virginia. The Bridge Day Commission's proclamation says Dragan's loss will be felt not only by family and friends, but by the entire country. Dragan was remembered this afternoon at a memorial service at St. Andrew's Episcopal Church in Oak Hill. A judge has reversed a decision that had rezoned some Fayetteville land for development of a Walmart supercenter. In the decision yesterday, Raleigh County Circuit Judge Robert Burnside Jr. said the public never had a chance to review a completed rezoning application or adequately prepare a response to the Walmart project. He ruled that the zoning reclassification earlier approved by Fayetteville's Planning Commission should be reversed and the matter sent back to the town. Burnside's decision was in response to a petition earlier filed against the town on behalf of Fayetteville residents Myrtle Ayersman, who owns a home next to the proposed rezoned property. Burnside was appointed to the case after both of Fayette County Circuit judges asked to be recused. An inmate testified yesterday in Fayette County Circuit Court that when he hitched a ride out of state with a man later convicted of murder, the man had no gun. Thomas Manet was convicted last year of the New Year's Day 2000 murder of Thomas Vest outside Oak Hill. But Manet's attorney is seeking a new trial, claiming prosecutors suppressed evidence of a conversation they had with Daryl Cadle, an inmate in the Southern Regional Jail. That's the news. Now the forecast for tonight, partly cloudy and cold. Upper teens to around 20. Then for tomorrow, partly cloudy, chance of snow showers again in the afternoon. Once again, temperatures in the upper 20s or low 30s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
Just when you think you've bottomed out on the level of cynicism it's possible to have toward Washington's constant kowtowing to the moneyed interests, along comes the American Jobs Creation Act. These days, whenever the White House and Congress put a positive-sounding title on a piece of legislation, you can bet that the law itself does the exact opposite of what the title so gloriously proclaims. The American Jobs Creation Act, pushed by George W. and enacted last fall, does not create a single job. Instead, it's a massive multi-billion dollar tax giveaway to global corporations. Through this law's homeland investment loophole, corporations operating abroad are allowed to have some $400 billion in foreign profits taxed at the bargain basement rate of only 5.25% rather than the normal rate of 35%. To pass this gargantuan boondoggle for some of the richest corporations in the world, Bush and his congressional cohorts had to cloak it as an economic development program, promising that it would prompt a surge of new investments all across our land and create hundreds of thousands of new jobs for U.S. workers. They lied. Instead of building new factories or producing new products, thus creating new jobs, such corporations as Hewlett-Packard, Procter & Gamble, Pfizer, GE, and ExxonMobil are using the billions they get from this tax windfall to buy out their competitors, shore up their bottom lines, or simply finance their existing operations. For example, Hewlett-Packard, which lobbied heavily for the tax break, now says that far from hiring more workers, it plans to reduce its American workforce. Likewise, Oracle Corporation says it will use its windfall to help pay for its recent takeover of its rival, PeopleSoft, a takeover that will cut 5,000 jobs. This is Jim Hightower saying, beware of corporate thieves lurking behind noble-sounding legislative titles. The grander the title, the greater the theft.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac, and libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library. So make sure your library has a feature. Just a little something. from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
Shining a liberal light in the conservative darkness, Bob Kincaid, head on.
Welcome back. About 22 minutes before 9 o'clock, we're halfway through tonight's Thursday night edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Where do the weeks go? Seems like just Monday it was Valentine's Day. Okay, the phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. Curiously enough, that spells WWNR. That's what you're listening to. And, well, we're not quite done with drop-dead stupid wastes of time in the West Virginia legislature. Oh, no, we're not. No public structures or streets could be named for U.S. Senator Robert C. Byrd or any other politician while he or she is in office under a bill being considered by the West Virginia legislature. Now, I just read you the lead paragraph there. You want to guess which so dumb one can hardly imagine he is able to breathe out and breathe in again Republican is behind this one? That's right. Vic. Slick Vic. House. Now this guy's a genius. He's going to waste the time. I don't know, maybe we could merge this. Let's see. No public structures or streets could be named for a politician with a split tongue while he or she is in office under a bill. Yeah, that works. Let's just merge. How do we do this? Okay. No public structures or streets could be named for a politician while he or she is in office and has a split tongue and lives on a street that has yellow school crossing signs instead of lime green ones on Good Friday. There! Go home! And if they do, we'll say really nasty things about them and never put them in writing. Perfect. Perfect. And videotape a movie about them while wearing a trench coat in a cinema somewhere in Charleston. Oh, 60 days worth of stupidity encapsulated into, what, 15, 20 seconds? Yeah, Slick Vic. Yeah, I imagine that Vic gets up every morning grumbling about Robert Byrd. God knows every other Republican in this state does. Or a lot of them. And it must just really, really hang like a big rock in a chicken's craw when the Republican Party of this state realizes that Senator Byrd draws a lot of Republican votes because he's done a lot of Republicans good in this state. I mean, if Slick Vic comes to Beckley, does he refuse to drive down Byrd Drive? When Slick Vic, for one reason or another, finally gets indicted, when we get a real, a real U.S. attorney, will he refuse to be prosecuted inside the Robert C. Byrd Federal Building? But this really is a shame. Slick Vic says that there are enough things in West Virginia named for politicians. And he says any such dedications should be done after a person has left office or has died. And there is the crux of Slick Vic's morning ritual. He gets up every morning, nasty little Republican that he is, and he says, Jesus, please let Robert Byrd die. And he turns green and vomits pea soup and his head goes 360 degrees. But I really wish he hadn't sponsored this bill. I really do. I mean, for starters, how are we going to name half the state after George W. Bush? The heck with naming half the state after him. I've already written to my representatives.
imploring them to rename that wonderful building in Parkersburg, the George Walker Bush United States Bureau of the Public Debt. God, could there be anything more fitting than naming the deficit after George W. I can't even come up with something rotten to call him. George W. Debt. Vic, buddy, withdraw this thing. The George W. Bush Marsh Fork Elementary filth dam. In lights. Bright enough that you can see it from space. Vic, buddy, please withdraw this wrong-headed bill. We got stuff we want to name after your hero. Oh, please. The George W. Bush Cannleton Coal Works. Where the scabs work. Please, Vic. Please. Withdraw this bill. Tell you what, we'll make you a deal. You withdraw this bill, and we'll add a little sweetening to the idea for you, too. We'll name something after you, Vic. How about the Vic Sprouse Philanderers Club? Or maybe the Vic Sprouse Domestic Violence Shelter? That would work. Come on, Vic. Be a mensch. Be a stand-up guy. Withdraw this bill. We'll make it worth your time. We'll name all kinds of rotten places after you and your nasty little hero, George W. Death. Come on, buddy. I don't want to do that, do you, Vic? Getting that $1,000 love from Don Blankenship? Mm-mm-mm. Don't want to do that. Getting that donation love from those family values organizations who don't seem to notice that you value your marriage so much that you've done it a couple of times? No, don't want to do that. Yuck. So we got that. It's amazing. Wasting the legislature's time deciding what things can be named after. Tell me how that helps a mother in West Virginia who's trying to feed her children. Tell me how Vic Sprouse and his support for this damn I hate Robert Byrd bill helps a daddy who's trying to get the third job so maybe he can afford health insurance. How does that help West Virginians, Vic, buddy? How? How does it help a small business owner that you need to, when you introduce this bill? How does it help? It doesn't help because you're useless. You're a waste. How does it help West Virginia families when you vote against holding employers accountable for slander and libel? How does it help? Come on, I'm waiting. See, the rest of us, we know, Vic. We know it doesn't help. And we know that you're not there to help. You're there to get that $1,000 love from Don Blankenship, aren't you, buddy? Yeah, you're our buddy, Vic. You're our pal. And, of course, speaking of Don, a question was put to me. We were discussing, and we really haven't gotten into it too deeply, this great big beautiful gated community that outfit from Georgia wants to build in my park and your park and our park, our beautiful pristine wilderness that draws millions and millions of dollars to West Virginia. Oddly enough, every year,
We haven't talked much about that. Now, if I understand the citing correctly, one report said that this is just to give you an idea of the scale of what these people want to put in my park, your park, our park. If you were to take this development and you were to lay it straight out along the Kanawha River in Charleston, it would stretch from Kanawha City to St. Albans. That's right, from Kanawha City to St. Albans. What is that, 10, 15-minute drive? That's a big development. And they want to put it on the rim of one of the last most beautiful places in West Virginia, so that the well-heeled set can have a lovely view of the gorge.
But, Bob, it'll bring jobs!
Well, I don't know. I mean, is it bringing jobs to West Virginia when this developer comes in and builds the houses with illegal immigrant labor? Is that the kind of jobs you want to come to Fayette County? Now, me, I'm pro-human. But, and frankly, my view would change significantly, probably, if I saw absolute guarantees that the parkland that they built in would remain open to all Americans. But I don't think that's going to happen. The Lark's Vomit Canopy set generally doesn't go in for having the great unwashed walking around the front yards of their gated communities. And frankly, this is an outfit out of Georgia. Georgia has never met a well-paid worker it wanted anything to do with. Georgia is one of those right-to-starve states. Georgia is one of those states where, well, you know, if you don't like the $6 an hour, we'll find someone who does. Georgia is a state that bears no love for a man who stands up, or woman, with his fellow workers and says, we're going to stand together and we're going to collectively bargain with you about what you're going to pay us. Georgia bears, well, anything coming out of Georgia is not going to be good for West Virginia workers. Have you heard a single word about them guaranteeing that every last single house and every last single stick, every last stud, every last concrete slab, every last electrical outlet wired will be wired by a West Virginia worker? Neither have I. So, I'm not so thrilled. But the question was put to me, why won't the developers that want to put a housing project in the New River Gorge area consider putting that project on one of the reclaimed mountain range removal sites that exist in Fayette, Raleigh, Boone counties? If you watch Massey and Walker Katz commercials, they show us these beautiful fields and say, hey, this is a reclaimed strip mine, yeah, even though it's probably, you know, something that was shot in, you know, virgin U.S. forest land somewhere. And they say, oh, look what a pretty, attractive, useful reclaimed strip mine this is. These mountains are, now that we've reclaimed them, these mountains are better than the ones that God put here to begin with. They're beautiful sights if you watch these silly propaganda commercials. They're beautiful. So why doesn't this outfit out of Georgia want to build on one of Don Blankenship's piles of shifting sand, huh? Well, a couple of reasons. One, they don't quite have the view of the gorge. They have a view of devastation. Second, Don's little sludge piles aren't fit for human habitation, won't support septic, won't support life. No tree will grow there. The only thing that'll grow there is the miserable scrub grass. It'll take 500, maybe 5,000 years before another tree grows on Don's devastation. But I think the offer should be made. Come on down. We got a reclaimed mountain range removal site right here just begging for a neighborhood. Never mind the fact that all the foundations will crack and sink. because that pile of gob is going to be settling for, a couple hundred thousand years. Mountains do that, you know, whether you make them or God. They settle. So, you know, that's the answer to that question. Let's go to the phones. We got Matt. Hey, Matt, your head on.
Hey there, Bob.
How are you?
Pretty good. A little tired. Just got home from work.
Yeah, long day.
Oh, yeah. Got a question.
Okay.
On that 4,300 acres.
Uh-huh.
Do they own the property now? They do, don't they?
Some of it. Some of it is within the park boundaries that were slated for purchase by the park.
Well, the way I look at it, as long as they own the property, it's their right to build on it if they want.
Do anything they want with it, right?
Well, I won't say any. I don't guess dump toxic waste, but if they want to build houses on it, upscale houses, I mean, it is their property.
Would it be nice to have West Virginians do that work?
It would be nice, but it's their right if they don't.
Okay. Is it our right to protest the fact that they bring in people to take West Virginia jobs?
Well, if you want to protest, go ahead. It's your right,
Is it our right to take every legal means available to stop them?
Well, sure. I mean, I did hear even the environmentalists are for this now.
Some are, not all of them. I mean, don't just say the environmentalists, because I know a lot that aren't.
Well, I mean, I saw them on the newscast, and they are some environmentalists. Ones that they showed said that they're even for it because they heard or they've researched the company and said that they do have a good track record of making things environmentally sound.
I've heard that too, Matt. But again, it's nothing but hearsay. And if they're going to bring in, if they're going to guarantee West Virginia jobs building this, you know, I think we can find a happy medium. But if this is just a matter of West Virginia's natural beauty being used for the convenience of some profiteers, I'll take a powder on it.
So basically, as long as West Virginia people do it, you're okay no matter what they do?
No, not no matter what they do. There's plenty of West Virginians spoiling West Virginia even as we speak. I guess the third shift's getting ready to come on at some massy hellhole somewhere even as we speak.
Well, the way I look at it, you know, a company has the right to choose who they want to build their facility. Let me ask you this. Is it right to tell a company that builds things by the code, you know, everything will be done by the code, say, well, you got to use West Virginia labor at, just $25 an hour, just pulling a number. Or you can use your own labor in Georgia for $15.
Okay.
Now, is it right that they have to, that West Virginia makes it mandatory that they spend more money on that labor? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that'd be like somebody telling you, well, Bob, I'm going to let you buy this car, but it's mandatory that you pay an extra $25,000 in West Virginia, but you could buy this car for $5,000 in Virginia.
Well, I don't think it exactly applies, Matt. The fact of the matter remains, if this labor comes from Georgia, and I am no racist, okay, and I am not xenophobic, but we are a nation of laws and not of men, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And if this guy wants to come from Georgia and use people who are not legally in this country to build it, is that his choice too?
Well, that is his choice.
Is it his choice to knowingly violate the law of the land?
Let me ask you this. What if every one of them are legal? What if they're all legal citizens of the U.S., that they do come from Georgia? Just because they come from Georgia don't mean they're from Mexico or Japan or wherever.
No, but I'll take your point on that. Is it okay that they bring them here? I suppose it's legal. Is it okay? No. West Virginians need work.
Well, West Virginians do need work, but it is their right. Now, if West Virginians would go out there and he'd say, I need some guys to move dirt for this much money, you got the right to accept that. You know, I mean, just because you don't want to go out and work for a few dollars less just because you're in the union or so on, you know, whatever your reason.
What's your problem with a union, Matt?
Well, my dad was in it for 28 years. I've seen a lot of problems in it, but I'm just saying.
I mean, what's your problem with people making decent wages and having pensions and benefits?
There's nothing wrong with it. But a person, if a company wants to use his own labor from his own, I've lost contracts because of this very same thing. had a better service, lost out because of union rules. Okay? Guy even told me, he said, I'd love to go with you, can't do it. But the thing is, if he wants to use his, whatever company he wants to use, as long as they do it by the book, you know, code and all that stuff, I don't see nothing wrong with it.
Well, you know, by the same token, if the playing field is that level, I don't think there should be any problem with letting labor try to organize his non-union workers either. Do you? Nope, no problem. Matt, we got a roll. Got the news coming up. Thanks so much. All right, and please, if you're on hold, stick with me. We'll come back after the break. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. Now, CBS covers the world at the top. It's 9 o'clock.
Here's Bob Kincaid, Head On.
Welcome back. 5 minutes after 9 o'clock. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. And without further ado, let's go straight back to the phones. 252-6200, 800-620-9967 if you're outside the local dining area. We've got Fred. Hey, Fred, you're Head On.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, pretty good.
Good.
Been up in Roan County for the last week.
Have you now?
Yeah.
What's happening there?
You want to hear an interesting statistic?
Do share it.
48% of the people in Roan County are over 70 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
That means 52% are going to be buying new houses soon.
There's a positive attitude if I ever saw one.
So you do know the county seat of Calhoun County?
No.
Oh, okay. Maybe you didn't tune in earlier.
I'm only no. Oh, I'm sorry. No, I don't know.
We were talking about the people who voted against the clean elections bill in the House Judiciary Committee in the. Calhoun County's delegate voted against it, and I just quickly tossed out there, what's the county seat of Calhoun County?
Oh, okay.
West Virginia's forgotten county. Grantsville.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay, Grantsville.
The place you can't get to from here.
Oh.
You can't get there from anywhere.
Well, where I was, you could get there, but it wasn't pleasant.
Now, which way did you go?
Well, actually, I went up to... a little town called Harmony. So I went Charleston, up 79, and over towards Spencer 119.
Okay.
So
okay.
What
occasioned you learning the demographics on the elderly population of Roan County?
It just happened, that little statistic. There was a visiting nurse at the place where I was,
mm-hmm.
and she mentioned that. And I go, wow.
And, you know, I wonder where that falls within the demographics of the state, Fred.
That's scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is.
It's almost a corollary to some of the stuff we see in the Middle East.
Coronary, did you say?
Corollary.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no. For instance, Iraq, Palestine, Iran, most of the population, more than 50% of the population, for instance, I believe, of Iraq is under 25 years old.
Yeah, it's young.
Egypt,
35% is under, no, 60% are under 35 as of a couple years ago.
And, you know, we've got one of the oldest populations in the United States. I think, what, we in Florida are 1 and 2 or 2 and 1?
Huh. Well,
but, you know, Roan, Wirt, Calhoun, and, what, Lincoln usually lead the way in unemployment in West Virginia, too.
Yeah. Well, there's not a whole bunch of anything going on up there. I'll tell you.
Got them a Walmart.
Do they, really?
Yes.
Well, hot damn, they're in touch with civilization, aren't they?
Well, where the state hospital used to stand. It's a Walmart
now.
You
know, I didn't get into Spencer to see that. I heard it was.
Mm-hmm. I've got a lot of friends over that way, and that state hospital used to be the single longest continuous building, heavens, in the country or in the world or something. The state hospital.
My memory of the state hospital is a guy walking down the street in his pajamas with a brick in his hand. And he made it nearly all the way through Spencer.
God knows why he had the brick. Yeah, God knows why he had the brick. Probably had a good reason.
He threw it through a window of a store he didn't like.
Oh, man.
He was a local.
Amazing. But, you know, I mean, it is interesting, though, if the, like Lincoln County, Wirt County, and Roan County all have one thing in common that I've noticed in this state, and I'm sure there are other counties, too, but I just noticed it about those three, and Calhoun County. None have a decent road going to it.
Hear, hear.
And as a function of that, none have any growth. I mean, seriously, it would probably take you less time to go from Parkersburg to Grantsville on the Little Kanawha than it would driving.
I think maybe the greater question is, why would anyone want to go there anyway?
Oh, come on.
Deer hunting?
That.
You want to watch the cows eat?
Well, all right.
It's quiet, let me tell you.
And, you know, well, you know, there's a, I guess there are people who want that.
Yeah. I came back with a real sense of peace and quiet.
Well, you went to Harmony.
Yeah, I went to Harmony.
How long were you there?
A week. 10 days, actually.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, so you know, you had a chance to go native.
Yeah, indeed. And I met a lot of the people who live around there.
Yeah.
I lost my cat.
You took your cat with you?
Yeah.
Okay, I was hoping.
And I let it out of the cage, and it went outside, and I never saw it again. So
it went native.
It went native.
And But
there's coyotes.
I was about to say, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you know, welcome to the West Virginia coyote problem.
Well, all that good fancy feast I've been given, it should make it tasty anyway.
Oh, stop it! Stop it! That's just awful.
Well, I hope Pretty Boy comes back, but if he doesn't. No, I cried for him. So that's enough.
Oh, well, you know, that's cats have a way of, you know, you don't get a cat gets you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's always been the way it was with me.
I should have left him here, but I didn't.
Well, you don't want to do that for a week either.
Well, I left him for 3 weeks when I went to Florida, and it was below zero here.
Oh.
It was below zero, and my neighbor, who was looking out after him, said, "When are you coming home? I thought you were only gone for a week." I said, "Becky, it's 11 below zero there. I do not want to come back from Florida."
Who does? Who does?
I says, "Bear with me here." Meanwhile, 3 weeks later, she tracked me down, and I had to come back.
You will come back and get your cat.
Yes, I should have just come up and went right back.
Well, I'm glad you had a nice nice little trip out there. Like I said, it's a beautiful place. Like so much of West Virginia, it's gorgeous. And it's a different kind of West Virginia, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I mean, it's not the straight up and down of Logan or McDowell or Mingo. No,
it's semi-rolling.
Yeah, but yet it's still vastly different from, say, you know, you go down to Greenbrier County or up into the Eastern Panhandle. It's still a very different kind of place.
I always wondered why they didn't have a clay manufacturing plant there.
Well, it would kind of fit, wouldn't it?
It sure would. I have a four-wheel drive, and I felt like I was skating. Oh. And all I was on flat mud.
And I don't care how flat it is, Fred. It can still be plenty slickety.
Yes, I had no control.
that's sort of like the other night when it snowed so hard here. I had a jolly time going home in my front-wheel drive vehicle, and you know I'm cruising along trying to be the reasonable, prudent driver in the right lane. Yeah, you know, doing 40.
Uh huh.
Ooh. You know, down Mount Hope Hill and feeling like skiing.
Yeah, that's scary.
And you know, I'm getting passed by Hyundais and you know, Yugos, you know, howling along at 70 miles an hour. And I'm I guess maybe once upon a time I would have done that, but not now that I got kids.
Right.
It changes you.
It gives you a different perspective, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. Well, are you going to be hitting the road anywhere else anytime soon?
Actually, I'm going back in a few days.
Are you really? And you're going to be gone for another week, or?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Is this business or pleasure?
That's business.
Okay. Yeah, tell him it was only business.
It's business.
Thanks, Fred.
Okay, man.
Travel safely.
Thank you.
Bye now.
See ya.
Huh. That, you know, there are, it's like there's four or five different states all contained in West Virginia. What a, you know, what a beautiful, wonderful place we have. Why, and you know, it's like that old saying, now watch some SOB come along and screw it up. And, hey, look, it happened. Mercy. Tell you what, got to take a break. We will come back afterward, and who knows what we'll get into. Maybe even some phone calls. Phone number is, of course, 252-6200. Outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob.
Head On.
You've heard it all before. Lose weight while you sleep, erase your debts instantly, or make a fortune in your spare time. How about this one? Slash construction wages and four schools can be built for the price of three. Ridiculous? Of course. Study after study proves that wage cuts won't reduce school construction costs. In fact, wage cuts hurt local companies and damage our communities. So don't believe everything you hear until you've heard the fact. A message from the ACT Foundation.
You asked for it, Beckley, and L&S Toyota's giving it to you. L&S Toyota is rolling over triple rebates. It's L&S Toyota triple your rebate sale. Only L&S Toyota dares to match factory rebates with dealer incentives to give you triple rebates. Up to $3,750. Triple your rebates on new Toyota Corollas, Camrys, Tacomas, Tundras, and more. Triple rebates on every new Toyota up to $3,750. That's right. Triple your rebates on all 2005 models. Plus, over 30 Toyota certified used vehicles are available with 3.9% APR financing. And get a 6-year 100,000-mile limited warranty with roadside assistance and a 160-point quality assurance inspection. Triple your rebate sales. Triple your savings. Now through Monday at L&S Toyota. 300 Rural Acres Drive in Beckley. On select models with approved credit, limited term financing. Dealer retains all rebates and incentives. $3,750 rebate at 05 number, ends 22805.
That catches and slams and it hangs on the rim.
And the Cougars are on a roll.
His 6th 3-pointer of the game in this one from 11 feet beyond the arc.
And the Cougars are national champions.
This is our town. This is our team. It's Mountain State University Cougar basketball, and you can follow all the exciting action on Power Country 105.9 WTNJ. The 2004 NAIA Division I National Champs are looking to go right back. Don't miss a game, home or away. This is Paul Van Scott inviting you to join me for all the exciting action this year of Mountain State University Cougar basketball on 105.9 WTNJ.
He's got the heart of a conservative, pickled on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 17 minutes after 9. No snow yet. Happy about that. I've been... The monstrous screw-ups taking place in Charleston have been legion. And as a consequence of that, I have been tied up in trying to, you know, put a little sunshine on. And to thank and speak well of those who persistent, oddly enough, trying to do the people's business instead of corporate West Virginia's. And in the process of that, I have neglected one of the larger stories out of Washington today. As of 10 a.m., we have a new nominee for the National Director of Intelligence. You know, the National Director of Intelligence, the 9/11 Commission came out and said, what we need to protect America from those crazy Arabs is another level of bureaucracy. Gotcha. Sure, you bet. So, what do we get? We got an unintelligent choice for intelligence. Then again, it was a Bush choice. What do you want? Boy George came out this morning and nominated. Now, you're thinking Director of National Intelligence. Director of National Intelligence. Director of, you'd want, like, oh, I don't know, a really, really good spy manager.
right? A real James Bond type. Somebody who really knows the ins and the outs, ups and downs, the cloaks and daggers of the intelligence biz. If you were president, that's what you'd want for a director of national intelligence, isn't it? It is. I can hear you nodding. If I was president, that's what I'd want. What'd we get? Well, president opposite. Well, he doesn't want the best guy that there could possibly be for the cloak and dagger biz. He doesn't want a real James Bond type. He doesn't want somebody who really knows all the ins and outs and ups and downs of the spy game. No. What, you think we're talking about a real president of the United States? No, hell no, we're talking about George W. Bush. So, on the heels of the testimony yesterday in Congress by Porter Potty Goss, the director of Central Intelligence, who said, interestingly enough, and I'm still having a problem processing this one, it's like just about everything that comes out of the Bush administration. You've got to put it through your Lewis Carroll Jabberwocky filter and send it down the old snake hole before you can comprehend what's going on. Yesterday, Porter Potty Goss goes to Congress and says, Al-Qaeda is going to attack us. Code Puce! Al-Qaeda is going to attack us inside America again. And they're going to do it, we don't know how. It might be chemical, it might be biological, it might be a dirty bomb. We don't know. But they're going to attack us inside the United States again, Al-Qaeda is. And he even went so far as to say, it's not a question of if, a question of when. Not a question of if, it's a question of when. You got that? Sure you do. Now, excuse me for just a minute. Is it just me, or did big-time Dick Cheney back before the election say,
if John Kerry gets elected president of the United States, terrorists will hit us hard, and we'll all be at risk.
You heard? I heard that. Did you hear that? You remember that? Hey, Wingnuts, do you remember that? Now, this is Porter Potty Goss talking yesterday. This is George Bush's little appointee. George Bush's little yes man, George Bush's little toad at Central Intelligence, saying it's not a question of if we get attacked, it's a question of when. Now, John, I don't know, maybe John Kerry did get elected and that's why we're going to, but George Bush is still in office and that's why we're going to get it. I mean, after all, in 2000, George Bush said if Al Gore gets elected, the economy's going to go in the toilet. Al Gore got elected and the economy went in the toilet. It just happened to be George Bush's fault. So, work with me on this one. I'm a little bit lost. They promised us if we elected Bush Inc., the Bushevics, if we elected them,
they would keep us safe from the 10-foot-tall, immortal, satanic terrorists.
Right? Right. So why is Porter Potty Goss sitting in Congress yesterday saying, it's not a question of if, it's not a question of when, it's a question of no, it's a question of when. Not a question of when Al-Qaeda attacks us. It's a question of when Al-Qaeda attacks us. Do I smell a confession here? Does that sound like an admission by the administration that they have no clue how to save us, how to save American lives, how to protect American lives against the terrorists?
Sounds like it was one to me. And, you know, these are our chief spy guys telling us this. These are the guys who listen to the chatter. And I've got a website. I'm going to try to post it on the message boards. I'll do it under, national politics. I'll look around. But it has to do with the real fear factor of all of these tourist attacks. They've done it to us again, you see, all through the campaign. It was, you know, we can't have prescription drugs from Canada because Osama might poison the blood pressure medicine or the Viagra, God knows. And it was homely director Tom Ridge. You know, it was Tommy Thompson, wasn't it? Well, I'll tell you what, they haven't attacked the food supply yet, but for the life of me, I can't figure out why. Thanks, Tom. And on, you know, John Kerry gets elected. Well, you know, the terrorists are going to attack us. And fear, 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 fear. You know, don't carry your almanac. You know, only terrorists read almanacs. And so a whole bunch of mouth breathers went to the polls and elected this high D, low C student from Yale. And now they're coming out and admitting that, well, you know, it's not if, it's when. They're going to hit us. Don't know how, don't know where. Don't really know how to begin to look for them. Had that presidential daily briefing on August the 6th, 2001, said Osama determined to strike in U.S., but, you know, we had no idea that that was for real. Yeah, Condi told me it was a historical document or hysterical or something. She's all the time getting hysterical, running around with her hair on fire. And there I was just trying to clear a little brush at my range. And they sit there and they say, it's not a question of if, it's a matter of when. Be afraid. Very, very, very afraid. But don't be so afraid that you don't fly down to Jebby Bush's Florida and contribute to his economy. But be afraid, please. We need you scared. We don't need you being the brave Americans that your mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers and great-grandmothers and great-grandfathers and great-great all the way back to the people who got on the boats and came here. We don't need you being brave like they are. We need you afraid, because that's how we manipulate you. So all of that goes down, and what happens at 10 o'clock this morning? Do we get the sharpest knife in the drawer? Do we get an experienced spy master for Director of National Intelligence? A guy that's going to control all the spying and spook stuff that goes on? Nah. We got John Negroponte. You know who John Negroponte is, don't you? First of all, Negroponte, it's sort of a Latinate name. It means black bridge. Sort of the bridge into hell, the black bridge. We get John Negroponte. Oh, well, he's had a lot of experience in the spy business. Ain't. Thanks for playing no. No, John Negroponte, lately he's been overseeing the murder and death in Iraq as ambassador there. Before that, he turned a blind eye to, you know, blowing up Palestinian children as United States ambassador to the UN. Before that, he was operating kind of under the radar, coming out of the Reagan administration, just trying to dodge indictments. Because you must remember who he really is. This is John Negroponte, U.S. ambassador to Honduras, during the Reagan administration, while Ronnie was having as many Central Americans killed as he possibly could and greasing the skids into hell for himself. John Negroponte was his man on the ground in Tegucigalpa, Honduras. John Negroponte was great buddies with General Gustavo Alvarez Martinez. General Martinez was in charge of a little outfit lovingly referred to as Battalion 316. Other people just called it the Honduran Death Squad. John Negroponte's buddy, General Martinez, would send his battalion 316 out to kill people who didn't necessarily agree with General Martinez's way of thinking. And John Negroponte watched it and heard about it and did nothing. He either knew nothing about the abuses or knew about them and actively turned a blind eye. Either way, he's a criminal. He earned the nickname the Ostrich Ambassador from people who wanted to believe that he just tried to look away from the evil and the filth and the death and the blood and the destruction that was going on under his very nose. John Blackbridge was in charge of arming the Contra rebels in Nicaragua, those terrorists, at a time when Congress had forbid doing so. Oh, John Negroponte is a perfect choice for Director of National Intelligence. He's the latest brick in the, what shall we call them? The torture all-star team at the White House. Aren't you proud? Shall we all stand up and sing the national anthem now? We've got torturers in the Secretary of State's office, in the Attorney General's office, and Director of Homeland Security's office, and now as the Director of National Intelligence. We have killers at Secretary of Defense and murderers for our President and Vice President. No, I don't think I'm going to be doing any singing. Let's take our bottom of the hour break. We'll come back and do the last half of this, last half hour of tonight's show. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Sheriff's deputies continue today investigating at least a dozen incidents of vandalism that occurred in the last 3 days in Raleigh County. At least 12 reports have been received of someone shooting out car windows with a BB or pellet gun, most of this in the Coal City and Sullivan Road areas. So far, no one has been injured and no homes have been damaged. If you have information, call the Raleigh County Sheriff's Office at 255-9300. Or Crime Stoppers at 255-7867. Workers' compensation bill that was the center of Governor Joe Manchin's special legislative session is now law. Manchin signed the legislation yesterday morning, saying the measure will attract business to West Virginia by privatizing the injured workers' fund and by cutting premiums. He was surrounded by members of the business and labor communities and credited their working together, along with the legislature, to get the workers' comp bill passed into law.
We did more than 5.5 days, and people thought could be done in a lifetime. I'm very appreciative of that, and I'm appreciative of everybody that's here right now representing all the different people that we have in this great state that want to have a good job and be able to take care of their families. That's what it's all about. It's all about families, and it's all about jobs and being able to keep your families together.
Under the plan, $230 million a year will be drawn from various sources to pay off a $3 billion budget shortfall. Police have released the name of a suspect in a fatal weekend hit-and-run in Greenbrier County. State police say 79-year-old Samuel Wilmer of Roncefort will be charged with one felony count of leaving the scene of an accident involving a fatality. Wilmer will also be charged with improper registration and driving without a license. That's the news. Here's the chilly forecast for tonight. Partly cloudy with a low in the upper teens to around 20. And then for tomorrow, Friday, partly cloudy and cold continues. And also a chance of snow flurries again in the afternoon. And tomorrow's highs, just like today's, in the upper 20s to low 30s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack. When you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
Hi, I'm Warren Eckstein with today's pet tip. Here are some bird don'ts. If your bird's beak needs trimming, file it. Don't clip it. Beaks can split and bleed. Be careful when clipping toenails. Clipping too short can cause bleeding and make it difficult for your bird to perch. Keep birds out of the kitchen. They can fly into boiling water or land on hot burners. Also, fumes from cooking can be deadly. Fumes from burning Teflon can be toxic. Household cleaners for your birds can be very dangerous as well. Never give your birds avocado, chocolate, coffee, or rhubarb. And do not keep so many birds that you don't have the time or energy for proper care. And leaving toilet bowls open can also be a hazard. Don't fall asleep with your bird. You can roll over causing injury or death. And do not share saliva or allow birds to eat from your mouth. Saliva can contain harmful bacteria. Allowing a bird on a head or shoulders can be dangerous. And never buy a bird on impulse. Educate yourself first. You know, birds live a long time, and they're really great pets, but you really got to understand them. I'm Warren Eckstein.
If you're like most people, you're sick and tired of your bathroom scale dictating your mood. If you're down a pound, great day. But watch out if you're up a pound or two, or your clothes are a bit tighter. This is not a good day. If this sounds like you, then step off the scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle. You know Cortislim people. You run into those Cortislim show-offs constantly. You hear how great and physically fit they feel and how they're going new clothes shopping after work. Well, Cortislim people have learned that at least part of their weight issues is related to stress and hormones. Cortislim people don't drive themselves nuts because they've learned the balance of exercise, nutrition, diet, and supplementation. Join me. Step off the scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle. Call now and get $20 off when you purchase two bottles of Cortislim. $20 off two bottles. That's huge. Call 1-800-LEAN-313. 1-800-LEAN-313. 1-800-LEAN-313.
Welcome to the John Deere Lawn Care Show, Green and Growing. Today we're here with Bill Clutho, John Deere's groundskeeping guru. Bill, I am so ready for spring. I'm already thinking about new equipment. When will my local dealer replace snow blowers with string trimmers?
Probably already has. Manufacturers typically introduce new products in the fall, and they start arriving in dealer showrooms in early winter. So take advantage. Go check out the newest technology and designs.
Good idea. I've had my eye on this new lawnmower.
Well, before you blindly follow that eye, make sure it's a match for your lawn's size and contour. For lawns less than a third of an acre, a walk-behind mower can get the job done in about an hour. If you've got more than a half acre, though, a riding lawnmower or lawn tractor is the way to go. And when you go to the dealership, don't be afraid to ask questions.
How about color?
I was like green myself.
I bet you do, Bill.
Matches my lawn, you know.
Mm-hmm. Tune in again for Green and Growing.
He's got a break, and he's not afraid to use it. Literally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Cruise into the tail end of this Thursday night edition of Head On. I got an email here from Kelly. Getting an email from Kelly is like getting a haiku. And I say that in the most complimentary of ways, because Kelly manages always to get just this mass of thought and information into a very compact space that begs consideration and thought over a larger period of time. But what Kelly says is as follows. Companies, this is in regard to the conversation we were having right before the top of the 9 o'clock hour. Companies do not have rights. Citizens have rights under the Constitution. Companies have privileges granted to them to do business as long as they are willing to play by the rules. This idea of corporate personhood is poisonous and is what has led to the environmental and wage atrocities that occur now. Any company that is not willing to pay fair wages to West Virginians and abide by environmental rules should simply be told, thanks, but no thanks. And see, so polite. And every word of that is the God's honest and unfly-blown truth. Someday, maybe someday, when we the people are in charge of the government again, the first thing that has to go is corporate personhood. It's been pointed out, I think, by Tom Hartman, that in the beginnings of this country, no corporation could last for more than, I think he said, 40 years based on his research, according to the laws of this nation. And that their primary goal and objective
had to be some public good as opposed to profit. And it all went swirling down the toilet when they were ruled to be persons. Because you understand, more civil rights suits are filed in this country by corporations than by any number of individuals combined. You know, the human being kind of individuals with the blood and the breathing and, you know, all the silliness. More, statistically speaking, more frivolous lawsuits are filed in this country by corporations than by any number of real, live, honest-to-God, flesh-and-blood human beings combined. But, of course, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce won't tell you that when they're complaining about frivolous lawsuits. Frivolous lawsuits are the ones that are largely filed by their members, not by the people who have been stomped on and spit on by insurance companies, not by the people who have been butchered by doctors, not by the people who have had their tongues negligently split by some back alley tongue splitter. Corporations. And on the day that we hold corporations accountable, maybe we start to take our country back. On the day that a corporation can no longer contribute to a political candidate, maybe we start to take our country back. All right, let's see if I can do this. Let's go back to the phones. We got Wayne, who is apparently not so busy now. Hey, Wayne.
Hey, you did it.
No, I didn't. Taylor got back into the room.
Oh. Well, listen, at least you're man enough to rat yourself out.
Well, you know, got to be honest.
Well, that's good, man. I think that's a very good trait. Very good trait. Listen, the only thing I could say about the guy, you know, the new guy that's...
Negroponte?
Yeah, the whole... You know, he made some really good ice cream, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Help me here. I'm losing you.
Neapolitan.
Oh! Gotcha. Sorry.
Well, yeah.
I'm a little slow.
I don't know, yeah. Or, I don't know. See, I thought that was really great, man. I couldn't wait. I don't know what to say, Bob.
Somebody else is laughing, okay? You know, I'm a little tired.
Okay, why? Well, you know, yeah, I know your life is so rough. But yeah, that's right. Who's the guy on the rim now that wants to...
Well,
I mean, you know, I know the whole 22,000 or 2,200 houses, blah, blah, blah.
Gated
now
community.
He's allowed to bring...
Well, I don't know. I mean, I was...
Illegal aliens in here?
I was just surmising that, you know, do we really need this community if he's going to... You know, the guy's coming from Georgia.
Okay.
You know, if he brings his own crew with him, come on, you know, Wayne. What's their last name going to be?
It ain't going to be Rebbage.
No.
I'll tell you that. Gonzalez.
Lopez.
And this is all honorable names.
Yeah, and this is not hammering on Hispanics.
No, it is not.
We're talking about good work, good jobs for West Virginians.
Yes, we are.
Of course, now bear in mind, I don't qualify good jobs for West Virginians under the rubric of, you know, 6 1/4 an hour.
Neither do I.
Which is, you know, that's the kind of paltry wages you see in these, you know, right to starve states.
Well, that's exactly right. And that was, I called you earlier, you know, at the very beginning of the show about this, you know, I don't know, your employer could write a nasty letter to another employer to tell you not to hire this person, but they didn't have to be identified.
Right.
Am I right?
They don't have to put it in writing. They don't have to sign it. Nothing.
And they can, how many they can just, people they, voted for that in our legislature?
81 to 17.
81. That's frightening.
Yeah, and I plan on having the list of these people by tomorrow.
Sally Sussman's on that list.
No, Sally. If I understand you correctly.
I mean, no, well,
Sally's among the 17.
Right.
I mean...
well, that's the list you want. You don't care about it. See, it's easier to... 17 names are easier to read than 81.
Well, that's true.
You know that.
Yeah, and of that 17, we got Sally. We got Tom Luisos, I assume.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
I'm guessing...
I guess I shouldn't say out loud.
No, I'm guessing Mike Caputo. I'm guessing...
Mike Caputo's got to be there.
And I'm guessing Kerry Webster, Bonnie Brown.
Yes.
And just as easily, we can probably guess, you know, on the other side too.
Where will our great Democratic representative from Raleigh County? What's his name?
Bob?
No.
No.
The other. Right to work. Rick?
Oh, why can't I remember this guy's name? I was struggling with it earlier, Wayne.
I don't know. Well, you know, why he keeps getting reelected.
Because we can't remember his name?
I guess, yeah. Thompson.
Yeah. Ron Thompson. Yeah, I'm pretty well.
I said Rick. See, I'm wrong, too.
Yeah, Ron Thompson. I'm guessing he's among the 81.
Oh, I'll guarantee it. This guy, it's a typical Bush-era media thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a Democrat, and I'm for right to work.
Yeah. I heard the background.
I'm getting...
that must be the delay.
He's listening the other way.
Yeah, that's the delay.
Yeah, well, you know, I get, you know, what am I going to do? Tell her, leave me alone?
Yeah, hey, we got her on the radio.
Hey, there you go. There you go. All right.
Good for you.
I mean, good for you. Anyway, listen, man. I mean, you know, like the thing up on the gorge?
Yeah.
We'll work with them people. I think it'd be a great opportunity. You know, here's all these... here's an idea for you.
Okay.
Here's this rim thing. Okay, number one, the 600 acres you want of our park that I know we haven't paid you for yet, but we're good for the money.
Yeah, I mean...
You know, trust me on
it. If Uncle Sugar's good for $280 billion to blow up Iraq, I think he can afford 613 acres
exactly.
In Fayette County.
I mean, we're just talking a little gorge here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, okay, forget that. Develop the other, what do they got left, 3,800 acres?
Yeah.
You know, that ain't a bad patch of land, you know. Let's develop that. Let's create a vocational school.
Hey.
Okay, of journeymen and apprentice electricians and masons and plumbers and carpenters and roofers and... air-conditioned people and...
Drywallers.
Right. On and on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
Let's pay them a decent wage, a living wage. You know, when they first start out, they don't make that much, but they're, you know, hell, they're 18. They're still living in my basement or something. You know, I'm buying food.
Your basement or some guy like your basement?
Hopefully some guy like my basement, you know, and that leaves mine, you know. Empty for another one. No, I'm sorry.
No, it's a great idea.
Well, sure, it's a great idea. But nobody, you know, that's, well, and that's why I called you in the beginning about this thing about where an employer can write a letter, but you don't know about it. That's all corporate.
Sure it is.
That's corporatization.
And it's there's nothing new. See, this is another...
it isn't.
This is another case, but
it's not just happening here. It's happening all over the world.
Well, right. But
everywhere.
But here in America, it's really, really nothing new. And it's another classic case of our oldest and best generation going away from us at an increasingly rapid rate. They remember the blacklists, Wayne. And if they
they do.
And if they were up and about and raising hell like they did in their prime, they would get the pitchforks and the torches, and they would march on Charleston and say, "Listen, you sorry so-and-sos, we remember this crap."
Right.
But they're not, so they don't. So we got to do it all over again. God, it gets tired reinventing the wheel.
Yeah, it does. That's exactly what it is, too. And that does get old. But... then again, we got to do it again, I guess, because I don't know what else to do.
No.
I'm not going to lay it down.
It's either reinvent the wheel or give it up.
I'm not into giving up.
No, I'm into wheels.
No, exactly.
You know, but what a brilliant idea that is, Wayne. I mean, create a partnership.
Well, think about this, Bob. And I mean, we can do this. Here, look at West Virginia, you know, the different, we got a new governor. He's, you know.
Makes us a little
Joe
nervous.
Manchin, I've talked with Joe Manchin.
So have I.
Joe Manchin's You cannot spend 10 minutes with Joe Manchin without liking a guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's a charmer, man.
Oh, absolutely.
The guy is a charmer, you know?
Yeah. Look you in the eye, shake your hand, give you a good solid grip, and as far as you can tell, when he tells you he means something, it looks like truth.
Hey, this guy is, you talk about a diplomat.
Yeah.
Now, this guy got the endorsement of the AFL-CIO.
Right.
He also got the endorsement of, you know, the dreaded Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, right.
Now, that's talent right there.
Oh, you know, he had the much maligned trial lawyers, and I think the defense bar both on his side.
Right.
The insurance companies. Everybody wanted on the team.
Exactly. But that just proves the point. There's a compromise. There's a compromise between business and labor, and all this stuff can work real well together.
Yeah.
You know.
As long as we remember that compromise doesn't mean you win and I lose. We got to remember the original meaning of the word compromise. That is to promise with.
Yes.
To enter into a promise with and to keep one's word.
It's one of them, what do they call them, win-win situations.
Right.
Yes. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And there's nothing wrong with that. Why can't we do that?
Right.
We can't do that because there are a small number of people that are too damn greedy.
Yeah, but I'm running up against a problem here, Wayne. I've come to the conclusion that Joe Manchin may be the only serious guy in Charleston, apart from this 17.
Well, I hope that's not true.
I mean, somebody pull Rick Staton aside and tell him he's making a fool out of himself with this tongue-splitting bill.
Well, I, you know.
You know, you.
I have honorably fought against that gentleman for the last at least four elections. You know, I've been trying to get rid of Rick Staton. I've run candidates. I've campaigned for candidates against him. And, well, the people keep electing him, so I don't know what the hell to do about that.
I know. And, you know
I'm going to continue.
You got, you know, we got Vic Sprouse.
And he calls himself a Democrat. But
right.
He, you know,
Dino.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, we have to, you got 17 people to start with.
Right.
There you go.
It's kind of like those few brave souls that stood up during the certification of the Electoral College.
Yeah.
You know, that's a very small core to start with, but it's better than starting with none.
But, yeah, and a woman, there was a woman from California that had more gonads than any man in the Senate.
Right.
That's kind of sad, ain't it?
Well...
It's real sad, Bob. I'll answer that one for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it's freaking tragic.
Yeah, it is. But,
you know, she certainly
but, you know,
put us to shame.
Yeah.
You know, our side of the gender aisle.
Hey, oh, I know what I wanted to tell you about. The Cannon thing, the Midnight Cowboy.
Yes.
Yeah, Gannon Cannon. What's his name?
The Guckert.
Yeah, Guckert.
Yeah.
That's both names included.
Yeah. Well, Guckert Gannon. Gannon Guckert.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Yeah,
you go.
Right. Midnight Cowboy. Exactly.
Yeah.
And what's the theme song? Everybody's Talking at Me. Wasn't that it? Harry Nilsson?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, it was.
That goes into the bumper music file for Mr. Guckert Gannon.
Well, you know, Scotty, man. What's the skinny on Scotty?
Oh, I don't want to talk.
I watch this on national news.
Yeah, well,
you know, I mean, Salon. I read Salon today. I guess you know.
Right.
But my wife tells me, you know, that's just a left wing thing that you know. No, she. I mean, my wife's on my side, but she's
right.
Describing what the
she is painfully
Rush Limbaugh people think.
Yeah, she's painfully addicted to realism.
Yeah.
Well, and remember, it you know it did show up in the Washington Times or Washington Post.
Yeah, but I mean,
in the C section. You know, in the style section. It didn't show up in the news section.
No, but see, it has to be on the front page every day for the next 10 or 15.
Well, we got a couple of minutes. I can explain to you why it's not gonna.
Oh, I know why it's not gonna.
Because
what we have to fight for is how can we make not gonna happen?
I don't think you do.
Or
because you gotta, maybe your reason's different from mine, Wayne. Because you see, Mr. Guckert Gannon has not spilled his guts yet. We just know that he's a man-ho, okay? And a man-pimp.
That means male prostitute.
Right. Yes. Now, we don't know what he knows. And what's more important...
I want pictures, man.
Well, and that's what's scaring Washington to death, because if you step outside your house right now, Wayne,
yeah,
and you listen very carefully, you're going to hear a series of pop, 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 pop. And that is the entirety of official Washington sweating bullets, because they don't know what Guckert Gannon does know. And they don't know what he's going to say about any given one of them. And I'm not talking about, you know, just Congress, you know, where you wind up having to stand up and say, the chair recognizes the honorable Manho from Georgia. You know, we don't know what these guys have been into.
I have some advice for him.
Yeah.
You know, you better start spilling the beans right now, pal.
Well,
die in a mysterious accident.
Yeah, stay off the small aircraft, Jeff.
Yes, most definitely.
But the other side of it is the press corps. You know, they've got their seedy, seamy, nasty little drug-stained underbelly, too. And you don't know what they've been into with this guy.
But that's all the more reason not to trust any of these people.
Right, but that's why you're not going to see it on Judy Woodruff or Wolf Blitzer or God knows that incredible, you know, Hannity.
Yeah, but see, these people created something that they, and I've always been afraid of it, and I'm exposing it to this, but there will be attacks. The bloggers are the ones that expose this to.
Oh yeah, America.
People.
AmericaBlog.com had a and that's, I think, John Aravosis had a great scoop today. He had photographs of Guckert Gannon going back weeks and weeks and weeks of him sitting there in the White House press briefing room, looking like a dog trying to pass a peach pit, just nervous looking, freaky little skinhead that he is. And everybody's scared to death over this because they're afraid they're going to wind up getting outed as a result of it.
I don't, you know. You mean all the gay people?
Yeah. And the bi people.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm not, you know, I don't care about that. Be whatever you are. What I want you to be is be honest.
Well, see, that's fine.
And they can't, you know.
Yeah,
that's
but Wayne,
my problem
that's fine.
My problem is not with this gay prostitute guy.
Well, but that's
my problem is with George Bush and the people that set this up.
Yeah, letting pimps into the White House press corps. I got a problem with that too. But the thing is, official Washington, you know, and it's not so much the Democrats. I mean, we've got some gay people in Congress, and we know it, and they're good Congress people. But the other side of that coin is what happens when these good, godly, upstanding, morally superior, Republican family men turn out to have been romping with Mr. Guckert. And, yeah, that's got him sweating bullets, and you're right. I hope he better stay off the small aircraft. You know,
hey, better.
Sean Hannity on the air saying, and I just think that Jeff Gannon is an excellent Washington bureau chief.
All right. I think that allows us to officially say that, what's his name, Hannity?
Yeah.
Is gay. I could tell just by the way you told me that quote.
I'm going to stop now. We got to end the show before.
Oh, no, don't. Did I get you in trouble?
No.
Listen,
no.
I said that. All opinions on this program are not being, you know, because of the whatever.
Yeah.
However they do that. No. That was my opinion.
He said that. You know, I put the little voice in.
Okay, before you go, let me make a plug.
Okay, go ahead.
This Saturday, down at Greenbrier or Western Greenbrier High School in Charmco, the building, West Virginia Building Trades, the ACT Foundation's having a job fair, Greenbrier Cogeneration, where they're going to build a power plant down in Raynell. You know, we're inviting people to come and, you know.
What time?
From 10 to 2 on Saturday.
Great. Good deal.
Okay,
thanks,
10
Wayne.
10 a.m.
Saturday.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And we'll talk about it tomorrow night, too.
All right, brother.
All right, we'll see you.
All right, man. Bye.
Okay, the show tonight was produced by the lovely and talented Taylor Sky, engineered by Randy Kerbway, announced at least in part by Brian Resman, brought to you, as ever, by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Also brought to you by our very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. And